I want to read a passage this morning from the 25th chapter of Matthew. I'll read the first 9 or 10 verses. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. Maybe that's enough to read at this time. That's 9 verses from the 25th chapter of Matthew. And he said the kingdom of heaven was like what he described here. And when we consider that, it looks like it ought to just about stop our hearts from beating. To think that the way he represented this, half of the folks that's going along aren't going to make it. That's the way he represented it. Now, I don't just go down the line and say you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out and so on, but Jesus said half of them would not make it. And that ought to make us sit up and take notice anyway and consider our ways and consider how we're living and see to it that we keep up to date with God. We've been on a little shopping expedition, and it kind of got broken into by the Easter Sunday coming up. But today we're going to shop a little more. And we're going to buy oil today. Now we bought a treasure in a field. We bought a pearl of great price. We bought some clothes. We bought some eye salve. We bought some gold. And today we're going to buy some oil. Everybody's scrambling for oil these days. Our nation's scrambling for oil, and the rest of the world is too. Especially the industrial nations. And oil's pretty costly these days. But this oil I'm going to talk to you about is more costly than all of it. But it's worth a lot more than all that is. Now whatever it costs you to get any of the things that God has in His market, and as I've mentioned several times, it's the most expensive thing there is and well worth it. But whatever it costs you, God gives in return good measure, heaped up, shaken down, running together, for everything that it costs you. Now here were five wise virgins and five foolish. The kingdom of heaven's like that, he said. The difference that he points out to us, maybe there were others, I don't know, but he pointed up this difference here, was that they all had lamps. And naturally, they had some oil in their lamps. But the wise ones took some extra oil. And they had a vessel to carry some oil in. The bridegroom didn't come just as soon as they all expected him to get there. So they all went off to sleep after a while. And at midnight, well, that's time everybody ought to be asleep. And all these folks were. Nothing unusual about that. But at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And they all woke up. Those wise folks just trimmed their lamps, and they had good light, because they had some oil to put in there. The foolish trimmed their lamps too, I suppose, but all they were doing was burning wick. And they said, "Our lamps are going out. We've got to have some oil." And they went to the wise to give them some oil. Not very likely to be able to buy oil at midnight, are you? But here's some folks that have oil. We'll get some from them. Are you going through life that way? Thinking that when the crisis comes, I'll just fall back on the saints? That's kind of the lesson presented here. I'll just fall back on the saints. Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But they said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for you and me, you and us." I was sitting right there a while ago thinking things over a little bit. And the scripture came to me in the writings of the Apostle Peter. He says, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sinner and the ungodly appear?" The righteous scarcely be saved. That would seem to indicate that it's going to be by a slim margin, but that isn't what he's talking about. That same writer said, "An abundant entrance will be administered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He's teaching an abundant experience of salvation, an abundance of grace. But he said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, if it doesn't mean just by the skin of your teeth, if it doesn't mean just skimming through, what does it mean? Well, to me, it means that whatever degree of righteousness we may possess, we can just save ourselves. God spoke about calamities that would come on the land of Israel. And he said, if Noah and Abraham and Job, or Noah and Daniel and Job, I believe, were among them, they could only save themselves. Now, folks, that's the way it is today. All the righteousness you have through Christ is just for yourself. You can't save anybody else. No matter how righteous you get. No matter how abundant your grace is. No matter how great your victory is. You just have it for you. You can't give it to anyone else. Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Everybody's got to attend to this for yourself. But they said, you go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And they went. But they were too late. The midnight hour had struck. Somebody handed me a little note some time ago. On it, it says, many of those who planned to come in at the 11th hour die at 10:30. Well, the midnight hour had struck and it is too late. But going by, everybody that gets his oil is going to have to buy it. It's going to cost you something to get it, too. Everything that God has is expensive, but it's wonderful. It's great. It'll do great things in your life and get you to heaven in the end. Now, all of these virgins had lamps. But they didn't all have extra oil. We read in the 119th Psalm, verse 105, Thy word is a lamp to my feet. The word of God is the lamp. But it takes some oil in the lamp to make a light. We all are pretty well indoctrinated. We know pretty well what the Word of God teaches. Most any of us could give a pretty good, clean-cut testimony of what salvation is. But I have wondered sometimes when I listen to some people's testimony and watch them people live, if their testimony isn't more doctrinal than it is experimental. Thy word is a lamp. Folks, it takes more than a doctrine to get you and me to heaven. He said in the 6th chapter of Proverbs in verse 23, the commandment is a lamp. The law is light. God's word is the lamp, and they all had it. And as far as we can discern, they were all tracking it pretty close, or they wouldn't have been called virgins. And they'd have been way off out there somewhere, missing the mark, failing to manifest the truth, the Word of God, they wouldn't have been called virgins. A virgin is an uncorrupted person. And if they would have been after any strange doctrines or after the idols of this world or big ideas and things, He mentions all of that in God's Word as spoiling people. If these had been spoiled people, they wouldn't have been called virgins. But they didn't get in. They had the Word, but possessing the Word, their lamps were going out. It takes something more than the doctrine to save you and me. Now, he says, go buy some oil. Get some oil. What is this oil? It's in Hebrews, the first chapter, the 9th verse, concerning Jesus, because thou hast hated iniquity and loved righteousness, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy brethren. Anointed him with oil. The oil of gladness. But how did God anoint Jesus? The 10th chapter of Acts, verse 38, Peter was preaching to a Roman centurion down at the house of Cornelius, preaching to him and his household. And he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Hebrews 1:9 says, he anointed him with the oil of gladness. But Peter tells what that oil is. It's the Holy Ghost. Anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was qualified and equipped through the power of the Holy Ghost to do the things which he did, to teach the things which he taught, and to produce the effects that he produced. Folks, you and I need to buy the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled with the Spirit. He said in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, that God has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. God told us in His Word, these are the words of Jesus, that God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Not just in spirit, not just in truth, but in spirit and truth. I've said before now, numbers of times. You'll probably hear me say it numbers of times yet, if I continue to live and preach, that a person that has the truth, let him have it just as straight as he wants it, or as you want it. Let him have it clear right all the way through. But he's lacking of the Spirit, and he's a dangerous man to be loose. The letter killeth. We can take God's word and kill everybody we meet with it, if we're lacking in grace, lacking in the Spirit. But He wants people to worship Him, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How come the world's so full of darkness today? And of confusion, spiritually I'm talking. They all have the Bible just like we have it. Many of them read from it just like we do. But somehow or other there's a lot of confusion. It's the lack of the Spirit. That's where the light is. Job said, Job 32:8, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. The divine inspiration of the Spirit revealing to your soul and mind the truth. That's where our understanding comes from. Outside of that, God's word is just darkness. Brother Pruitt, Papa Pruitt, said to me one time, he said he marveled that the Word of God was so constructed and so written that if people didn't want the truth, they could get error out of it, right out of the same Word. If they didn't want to understand it right, they could understand it wrong. Misunderstand it. Proverbs 20 and 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. But a candle isn't light. It's a potential of light, but it must be lit. The psalmist said, the 18th Psalm, verse 28, thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. We need our candle lit, folks. And the only thing that will light it is the Spirit. In the 8th chapter of Romans, in verse 16, he said, his Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. And it's when God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, comes in contact with your spirit, turns the light on in your soul, then you can see things as they are. Yes. See things in the light of heaven. See things as God sees them. If we compare ourselves among ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves, we'll never see the truth of our condition and what we need. No one will ever help yourself to a higher elevation in your spiritual life by looking at someone else and saying, well, I'm as good or better than they are. That's not the way we improve ourselves. But we climb up to higher habitations in the Lord by getting our eyes on Him and opening our hearts to His Spirit. And letting His Spirit come into our hearts and light our candle. Illuminate the Word of God to us. The Bible said that the things of God are foolishness to the natural man, for they're spiritually discerned. We'll never discern the truth till we discern it through the inspiration of the Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is associated with fire. Sometimes it's associated with power. In the lesson today, it's associated with oil. Let me tell you, folks, oil stops the friction. And oil will create a seal. It'll give power to the engine. When the engine begins to clatter, you better check the oil level in it. And when things begin to clatter and murmur and complain around in the church, you better check the oil level. When you begin to murmur and repine in your life, you better check your oil level. When you're short on power and victory, check the oil level. Maybe you need to buy some more oil. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, I said this was costly. And I'm not going to take it back. Said in the 12th chapter of Romans, in the first two verses, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, folks, that's costly. Not many folks will pay that price. But that's what this oil will cost you. First Corinthians 6th chapter verse 19 says, what? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and in your spirits, which are His. When it comes to presenting your body, when it comes to relinquishing all rights to yourself and your own life, He said in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and the 15th verse, that Christ died for all, that henceforth we who live should not live unto ourselves, but unto Christ who died for us. When it comes to relinquishing your right to your own life and to have your own way and to do your own thing, that's a pretty high price, isn't it? Brother Chandler used to tell us when we went through this transaction, action says from then on, you've got to ask God what you do with yourself. You're not your own. I hear people complaining many times, my life's not my own. Well, if you're a child of God filled with the oil of the Spirit, that's true. Your life isn't your own. Never is your own anyway. And people say, I have no time of my own. They don't like it that way. Have so much demands on their time. I don't ever have any time of my own. When you just present your body a living sacrifice, from then on, Brother Chandler said, you got to ask God what you do with yourself. You don't just make your own plans. You don't just do your own thing. And that's where the stall comes with most of the people in our day. There's never been a day that I know of. There may have been days like this. I'm not familiar with them. There's never been a day that I know of when people had to have their own way so much to get along with them as they do now. They want their own way. That's childish. Children, they squall and all if they don't get their own way, but they're supposed to grow out of that. Supposed to grow up and be able to meet life in association with other people and blend in and fellowship with other people. And not demand your own way all the time. But I've never seen a time in my time that element was as strong as it is today. People just contending for their own way. Getting all upset when they can't have their own way. But you lose the right to do that in the price you pay for this oil. It's expensive, folks. Did you not know that the very last thing that you'll ever give up for Christ is yourself? Yourself is a price you have to pay for this oil. All your self-planning and your self-ambitions and your self-will and your self-way and having your way and all of that, that's the last thing you're ever going to give up for Christ. But that's the price for this. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say, it's going to cost giving up the world and your worldly friends. It'll cost you that. And somebody says, can it be friends with everybody, anybody? Yes, in a general way you can, and you should. But close friendships that affect you and draw you away from the will of God, you're going to lose those. You'll just have to lose those. Friends are dear to us. But it'll not be so much of a problem. You just get saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and start living that kind of a life, and your worldly friends will just begin to drop off. Amen. It isn't all that much problem. You may grieve over it for a while, but God will so fill your soul with abundance of grace and with His love and all that you won't miss that. I'm enjoying my life in the Lord. I'm not grieving over those folks that aren't friends with me out there in the world. If I have opportunity, I'll be friendly with them. But I'm not expecting them to think very much of me in the way of what we think a real friendship. I'm not expecting that out of the people of this world. Peter says they think it's strange that you don't run with them the same excess of riot. You did. You used to go that way. You used to just move right along with the crowd. Now you've got something that's changed you and changed your course in life, and they think that's a strange thing. Well, that fellow isn't like he used to be. Of course he isn't like he used to be. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Of course he isn't like he used to be. But they think it's strange. The people of this world just think that's a strange thing. But folks, God just isn't pouring this out promiscuously upon the people. He says you got to buy it. You've got to pay a price for it. You've got to surrender your rights to your own self, to your own will, your own way, your own reasoning, everything. Everything that originates within the self, you have to surrender your rights to that and yield and submit yourself to God. But that's the way of victory. That's the way of abundance of grace. And they that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now that's where the power comes in. That's the source of victory. That's the source of joy. That's the source of your ability to love your enemies. Is that the love of God is shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Ghost. That's the source of your ability to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you'll never do that until you have this oil flowing in your soul. That's something that's wrought by the Holy Ghost. The love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You'll have power to pull the grades. Power to overcome. Not just the little trials. Not just the little slights. Some folks can't overcome a slight. But you'll have power right in persecutions, tribulations, and wants and needs and nakedness and peril and all these things that the apostle mentioned in the 8th chapter of Romans. Then in verse 37 he said, in all these things we're more than conquerors. The source of that conquering power is the Holy Ghost. I counsel you to buy of me some oil now. Buy the Holy Ghost. And all it costs is yourself. When you come to the Lord to be saved, you give up sin. You give up the world. Every wrong thing that you know, you give it up right there. When you come to Him to be sanctified, there's just one more thing left to deal with, and that's yourself. And that's where the crux of the whole matter comes in finishing your salvation, is in relinquishing your right to your own self, and to your own life, and to do your own thing.